You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video, it's Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare SP Angel. You're up, Vadim.
How are you doing, Justin?
Yeah, good. Now, we often say the markets are ahead of the actual news and what's happening. And like I said, we've seen, you know, the AIM All Share, in fact, the FTSE 100 has been in a bull market for a while now. FTSE 250, which is more in line with AIM, I suppose, more domestically growth stocks and growing companies, that's in a bull market. AIM's in a bull market. And in fact, let's share the screen with you. You can see this here. I've put the bull on there so you can see that, if it helps. So at 803, there he is, sitting on the line, the 803. We've had a good rally, you know, from, in fact, if you go back even further, this is the second sort of wave. The first wave was from October, you know, up until here, which is a good rally. And then again, broke the bull into bull market area. We're having a little pullback. That can be expected, like it had here, you know. I don't think it'll be as long as this consolidation, which was from almost December to April, because now interest rates are coming into focus more clearly. And we've had, the Bank of Canada, Central Bank of Canada, reduces rates. And today, the ECB, they are at the moment 4%. They're lower than us anyway. But we are doing better than them economically. But they are predicted at 1:15. So if you listen to this, it's gone that, so you'll know. But they're predicted to drop it by 25 basis points, by 0.25%. So in America, I think, talking now, the markets rallied yesterday on job openings being less than expected. I think they were seeing 175,000. It turned out to be 152,000, which is, of course, they're seeing maybe, you know, the economy slowing down there, which would need stimulation. That would obviously dampen down inflation. And so, you know, interest rates coming down. So it seems to be happening, doesn't it?
It does. It sure does. Is it felt in small caps yet? Not really. No. Some are rallying. There is a bit more activity. We saw Angle do a raise yesterday, I think, the proposed raise. So yeah, things are starting to move again. Starting.
So explain Angle. This is a chart that had a bit of a tank in there over the last few years. But I've heard this. A lot of people have been, there's some big fans of this stock.
Yeah.
And you know, it does tend to rally and then pull back, and then, like I said, it's come down a lot from.
Has a long history, without question. Yeah. Has a very, very long history. This company.
120 it was almost 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and that's like
the rest of the biotech rally, right?
Yeah.
So what you see there in that big mountain that went up and down, that's COVID, right? All of that was the COVID period, right? So they're in the area of diagnostics, specifically in oncology. They've created their lead product is a product called Parsortirix, which is basically it allows you to capture cancer cells that are circulating in your blood. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you can take those cells out and then analyze them further and get a better idea of what kind of cancer you have. You can see how that's beneficial. This is what in a whole area known as liquid biopsy, where instead of biopsying the actual tumor, which is quite invasive, you do a blood test. And then you find out what that tumor looks like, because the tumor sheds cells, it sheds DNA. You know, there's other types of blood tests out there, RNA, DNA tests. But you know, cell types are also a feature of. They're called circulating tumor cells. The benefit of their test is actually that you can analyze the cells. So you know, you can take the cells out and analyze them. So that's essentially their device. They have had a long history to get to this point, but they're finally at a point where they're commercial. They put their results out yesterday together with the announcement of a fundraise, and they're raising up to 10, or we're raising up to 10 and a half million. I can't remember what the placing, the open offer ended up.
Yeah, 15 but, pence it was. So 15
oh, the, pence. The, no, the price was 15 pence. Yeah, yeah. But the open offer 5, was.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I can't remember what the closing amount was, but let's call it 10 million after the open offer, roughly. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Results. There you go.
And, yeah. And the key here is this the last financing? You know what I mean? Is it the last one? They say in their announcements and their proposed placing that they hope this to be their last financing. Or when I say last financing, the financing that gets them to cash flow neutrality. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they did 2.2 million in 2023. They said in a previous announcement that their revenues are going to treble this year based on contracts and visibility. That'll make it 6.6. I think, you know, it's supposedly going to the moon afterwards. So fantastic, power to them. I hope it works. And I hope they manage to increase, ramp up revenues aggressively enough to be cash self-sufficient. Do I think it's really the case? I mean, how many times have we seen companies get that wrong? You know, I can think of a few, Shield and, you know, a few others.
Well, many companies. I mean, I say that, you know, one of the things that sort of I've learned and I've you know, talked about, and I say, be very wary when companies say they're going to be profitable. I mean, the only proof in the pudding is the figures. Figures are
Is only
everything else's opinion. Yeah,
you know? Exactly. So there's still a big gap because they're burning a lot of cash. Okay. So, you know, they had cash on their balance sheet. You have it there. You know, they had cash and cash equivalents of 16 million right there, right in front of us. You've put it right in the middle of the screen there. And then they've raised another 10. So let's call it, you know, 26 million. But they're burning like 20 a year, if not more. You know, so now that burn is being offset, obviously, by the sales if they ramp up aggressively enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're saying that by the end of 2025, they'll be cash neutral on a run rate basis. Okay.
Yeah.
And this raise will get them there. I suspect, I can't help, this is all speculation. We all, you know, I suspect it'll require another round in the future, but not imminently. So, you know, they'll be able to deliver something on this round. And if we can all see that the revenues indeed are doing that, then, you know, it's moving in the right direction. 2.2 million is not enough. 6.5 million is starting to look better. You know, and if it's 2.2, 6.5, and then 12, we're getting there. You know, I'm talking about like this year, last year, 2.2, 2.3, 2.2. Sorry, last year, 2.2. This year, if they actually treble that to 6.6 and it goes on to 12 next year, then irrespective of a raise or no raise, the company's on the way to getting there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's been a very hard market for companies, you know, high cash burn companies, even if they're cutting edge of technology with potential upside. Because, like I said, it's been hard to raise. And with interest rates coming down, I think it'll, you know, maybe help a little bit. The markets will rally, and I think a lot of markets will rally. But just looking at that, I mean, if they, you know, trouble is, you know, operating costs 23 million. You
that's
know?
Huge burn. That's huge burn.
That's not going to go down that much. I mean, it's gone down, what, a million a bit from last year.
Yeah.
But even if they get, like you say, even if they bring it down a million a bit again, so they get 22 million.
Yeah.
You know, they still got a long gap to cover that. So at least they've got 12 months anyway, haven't they? So runway at least.
Yeah, exactly. Here, you know?
And so
maybe even a bit, I don't even know if it's a bit longer, really. It depends on how revenues are doing, right? So if revenues start to pick up as aggressively as they claim they are, but something tells me it's not going to work out always to plan, and, you know, there'll probably be another cash call in the future. But do I like... So. The way I'm looking at it, you know, I'm not a holder currently of the stock. We don't act for the company or anything like that. I'm looking, this one's on my watch list. Okay. And I wouldn't probably have participated in this 15p round. I'm waiting to see, well, obviously the market can get away from us and, you know, in the next year we could have a boom in the markets again, and then I'll eat my words. But I do think that one more placing is probably a way, you know, that's what I'd be looking to buy. In the next one, not this one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no rush because you get these spikes and they come back down.
Exactly.
And if you want a sustainable rise, you know, it's got to be, they've got to be able to, you know, get to like cash flow positive. And that's where you get, you know, multi-year sustainable, you know, rises rather than these spikes coming down.
Yeah.
Good for trading. But literally, you don't have to just jump in and jump out all the times. It's a stressful game, that trading.
Yeah.
And most people get it wrong. You know, if you look at any of these sort of platforms that do trading and spread betting, there's 70% of retail investors lose money. And I think it's a heck of a stat to get over. So three people pretty much make money in that. And
to get the timings right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Highly disciplined people who do that with trading strategies. They've been very honing for years. And they've gone through the period where they've been part of the 70% losing money. Yeah. And most people just drop out. Okay. Oh, by the way, circling cancer cells, that's the same kind of thing that Lung Life target, isn't it? I think Lung Life AI.
I'm not that close to Lung Life, so if you call it up, we can just quickly check.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah. They're another company where, you know, potential is huge there because
their shares have been under pressure like everyone else. But I've seen their shares rally recently in the last year from roughly around these levels, 20p, all the way to 120p, and they've come all the way back. So, you know, this is one that I think also, once they get their funding sorted, is one to watch.
Well, I did buy it. I'm right here.
That's it. That's what I'm talking
and
about.
And did rally. Like crazy. And I bought so much, I bought a bit more, and then I had too much. Because I couldn't even deal with it through my normal investment account. I got open an account with IG, but then I couldn't really get out because it was so illiquid. And that taught me a lesson. In fact, if you go onto my website now, in the Microcap League, everything, I look at the volume, average daily volume and everything, and put it into a pounds denominator as well. So you can see how liquid a company is, because you've got to be aware of your position size. If you've got a company like... It's literally trading a volume of $4,000 a day. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, the spread's going to be big. If you take a position of a certain size, you can't get out. If you even try and get in, it just moves the share price up before you... And you think, oh, my.
So especially when it goes up five times like it did in that rally. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, your okay position is five times bigger and it's even harder, to find enough buyers. Yeah, exactly. It's the same.
I got out of a profit, but it was very hard. And they couldn't even fill the orders. So it's like, my word, this is going to be, but I think they're into circulating tumor cells.
Let's quickly see here.
Yes, one thing for me, I read about a company, I learn about it, then I forget all about it. But let's say like, what do you call them? Circulating tumor cells. Do you see what they're called? Yeah, there we are. It's a blood test that uses circulating tumor cells to stratify indeterminate lung nodules. So similar to that.
So it's becoming a hot area. Well, liquid biopsy is a hot area. There's different strands of it, though. There's some people are isolating cells, some people are isolating DNA fragments and RNA fragments, so much smaller, right? And one would argue, and I kind of am a proponent of this, and I like Angle, and I'm keeping an eye on it because I do think there's a trading. My trading strategy is I think there's an opportunity when they finally show that the revenues are picking up, and we can bridge the gap with one final round. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that final round, I might get it wrong because it might be at a higher level in a better market, but I'm just not prepared to buy it right now because if they get it wrong on the 6 million or whatever, and I think they've already said in their latest announcement that they're expecting it to be back-end weighted, which is another thing that, is a bit of a concern, right? So they're tracking, I think, 1 or 2 million this first half and, it'll be more back-end. So anyways, all this to say that's the kind of thing that is still uncertain, so worries me, and I don't want to pile in ahead of a bit more visibility on that. But anyway, long story short, just back on circulating tumor cells, there is another area with these fragments that is becoming really, really quite successful in identifying something like 15 of the top, cancers from a very simple blood test. With quite high sensitivity and specificity. So like something like 80, 85% currently. And that once that gets above 90, we've got a test that's very solid. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that doesn't require analysis of cells or anything like that. It's just like, if you flag up in a, like this battery test, which is a very simple test, simple blood test, then you immediately just get referred to an oncologist, maybe not right away to an oncologist, but you certainly get referred to your GP to go do more testing. You see what I mean? And that's kind of the future of of oncology. If we can get tests that pick up cancers non-invasively like this with a blood test very, very early, then it quickly gets to us removing tumors or, you know, ablating cells even before they ever become a cancer. And that's kind of where we're going right now.
Exactly. Well, look at this. You should do some research on long life. It's very interesting. I did, you know, when I, before I invested, that was amazing because the tests, these, they can extrapolate these tests. It's like if they, you know, 1.8 million deaths from lung cancer were recorded in 2020 globally. Nearly 80% of all lung cancers in the United States are diagnosed in later stages. And this is where they come in. They don't have to be invasive. They have blood tests. They use AI as well. Yep. And they've done this enrollment of 425 participants. And they're delighted by the findings showing strong positive predictive value of 81% in discriminating benign cancer lung nodules in patients with smaller modules. And these are nodules often missed or they're indeterminate, they can't pick them up. So it's a very good sign. And in fact, another one in this area, which is quite hot, I suppose, it was hot. I mean, I don't know if you know OBD, Oxford Biodynamics. We talked
about with the prostate cancer test.
Yeah, exactly. With PSC tests. And that was phenomenal, sort of game-changing. When they came out, in fact, let's look at the chart. I know you can look straight away when they came out with this stat. And they said it'll improve, I think, the PSC test, OBD, from 55 to 95%. And so that was it there. As you can see, it literally did a, how far did it go?
So
it did 156% on that day and then kept going up. But since that day, and I said, you know, never jump in and stuff like this sometimes because it'll come back down. And look, so it did 328% in literally 9 days or less sessions of that, open sessions. But and now it's back to that. Back to where it was, pretty much. Yeah. So they've raised money as well. I think it's raised money. So, but they're talking about all different things. But it's, like I said, we talked about this when they began commercial traction. The same with Plarium, you know. Yeah. It's okay having a tech that seems to be groundbreaking, but you realize the people who are going to be operating this tech, they've got, you know, it's a very complex way of getting into these systems, getting into these corporations, these hospitals, whatever.
Yeah.
And just because they're not just accepting your tech, it's a rigorous, you know, process you go through. And then you have to get budget to constraints and you have passable tests. It can take years, can't it? So even if you've got groundbreaking tests, you're not going to break in very quickly the next day just because you release an RNS. People don't want to say, oh, come on, let's get it in the hospital. You know, it's harder than that, isn't it? In fact, well, there is news today, actually, about the EpiSwitch, that's the prostate screening blood test, to be using correlative studies of the NSCI trial for prospective monitoring for biochemically prostate cancer. Where is this? FDA registered trial. Okay.
So it's
been over 5 years.
Yeah. But it's all about monitoring, right? So that's the whole thing. But it's interesting. It's just that the NCI is interested in their test. So that's good. I mean, you know, they're using it in their trial or, you know, so that's good. That's a positive thing. But I guess the point, and that was always my concern fundamentally, we've discussed it here on OBD, on Oxford Biodynamics, is that you're not going to just go out there and replace the, you know, the PSA test is the current test, right? And it's very, very weak, like in terms of its, you know, like I think that's what they were saying. It's about 50 or 60%.
How much did they raise here? They raised about 9 million and this is in March. And so what's the market cap now? Because they've raised, this is another company. I literally was researching this after Destiny Pharma did well. I was researching the biotech company. I was researching this literally in the weeks up to this thing. And I thought, they're burning too much cash. And that's what put me off. And literally, they reached that news. Like, oh, so they are now 25 million market cap, pretty much. And they've got, what, 8, 9 million, probably. Yeah, so that's fundraising. But
I mean, fundamentally, that company has an adoption issue.
Is it by, go on.
They have an adoption issue. They have to get their test adopted. And if they don't hit their revenue figures, it's going to be another cash call.
Yeah. There we are. So it's gone from, the PSC boost, PSA, 55 to 94% for determining the presence or absence of prostate cancer. Because, I've been the doctor. They say after you get to 50, and I'm 53 now, you should be, you know, on a yearly basis, pretty much having a test in some way, PSA.
Yeah,
you go and ask for a PSC test, a PSA test. And they say, but it's not very accurate, really. And that's the point. I mean, I think, is that where we're at in this day and age? It is. So what do I wait for? Until I get become ill or start bleeding in places or what? I mean, you know, surely we can get something more accurate at this day and age without, you know, yeah, but it's not very accurate. I mean, nonsense, isn't it? So
and yet it's widely adopted, exactly. And yeah, I know. I mean, testament to how difficult it is to change healthcare, it's that, you know, if you do have a 94% test, then it's better to do that than a 55% test. You know what I mean? It's, yeah. But changing it is not easy, yeah. And it won't happen overnight.
No, exactly. By the way, I've had on the podcast a few weeks back, I think it was, the reverse takeover of Amber Minerals extruded pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, yeah. Rechristened as
Chrism. So much money we spent in cancer. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so it's completed. The vote went through. The deal has been accepted by shareholders, and now now they're off to the races, basically. So the company has been relisted.
Okay, that's good. And it's very interesting because, like I say, I'm just 90% for approval acquisition. Yeah, 90%. So and this is another way. Essentially, it's very clever, isn't it? Because these things can be implanted.
Yeah,
into the brain, and it says there's a brain. What's the brain barrier? It's very hard to penetrate.
The blood-brain barrier, exactly. So part of the problem with problem with brain cancers is that the brain has a natural mechanism to protect the brain from any kind of chemical, you know, that you're exposed to. So if there's something in your blood, well, it won't necessarily reach your brain because it's a natural protection. The problem with that is if you're trying to get a chemotherapeutic agent to a tumor in your brain, then it's not going to get there, right? So we have very effective chemotherapeutic agents that we can't use for brain tumors. Here, they're implanting these chemo seeds, which is a known effective chemotherapeutic agent into the brain post-surgery. So you're not creating a surgery. You're not implanting them as a result of you're not creating the requirement for surgery. There is already a requirement for surgery, and then post-surgically you're leaving the chemotherapeutic agent there. So that's the main thrust of their product.
Chemo seed, very interesting there. So in fact, this has turned into accidentally an oncology special. Let me mention four companies. In fact, you can't go without mentioning Avacta. I know a lot of fans of Avacta saying, when you mention Avacta, so of course, Avacta's out there. It's taken a bit of a hammering stock-wise, and the share price has really, you know, fallen off a cliff here. We're at 41 pence. What's the market cap now with this? But Avacta's got
some
technology as well, where they're saying, it's 145 million. So, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, they've got the precision technology that targets sort of cancer cells there, and they're going through phase 1A, I think it was. But, have you ever looked into Avacta at all, Vadim, or not?
I find, you know, it was very overvalued. Now it's getting a bit closer to, better value for potential buyers. It's underwater from the placing. It's just the valuation is very high. Do you see what I mean? It's a phase 1 asset. Priced, I guess it's priced like it should be priced on US by US standards, but it's an AIM company, right? And on AIM, you can find assets that are more advanced for 1/10 the price.
Yeah. Okay. The fans won't be thanking you for that.
Well, no, I mean, it's not.
but you are being honest and objective. You have no position.
I like the technology, though. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I actually think what they're doing is great. I think their technology is really good, actually. Just that for a phase 1 asset in this market, it doesn't surprise me that eventually the price is going to start coming off. And, you know, it is.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of holders will say, yes, but it's worth 20 times more than this, whatever, but you don't know that. We talked about lots of companies here with, you know, amazing technology. You know, if a player in OBD are two examples there, mm-hmm. that come off in price because, you know, it's not as simple as having a technology. First of all, you've got to prove it clinically in some way, and then you've got to commercialize it. And those are very long, expensive processes.
Yeah.
And, you know, many companies have failed and gone through before they've even got the end of that, and so it's and that's the risk there. So
correct,
yeah, marvelous stuff. All right, have you bought or sold any shares recently, Vadim?
Have I bought anything recently? No, I haven't actually. I've been kind of what have I been doing? Nothing. I've been just holding. I haven't been offloading or anything. I've just been kind of neutral in the market. Why? Because I feel like we're at the end of the downturn. You're already seeing it, as you rightly pointed out in the beginning. The AMOL share is rallying. It won't be long before a lot of the biotech stocks that have been heavily hit will start rallying. And why? I've sold a few. You know, I sold my Polarian because I knew that, you know, ultimately there's a funding gap and I just didn't know how it was going to get resolved. I've done that a while back. But some of them, you know, it's kind of too late. You stick with them because if a rally is coming, well, you might as well just stay in, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we've all seen them. I've taken massive hits on a lot of stocks, in biotech in particular. Some of them I think are going to rally again, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, largely those, you know, the biotech stocks, like you say, who are almost pre-revenue or they're, you know, they're not generating cash, then they rely on fundraising, and fundraising has been massively hit to the market downturn, largely due to interest rates going up. And now that's, you know, we're starting to see maybe the start of the end of that.
Yeah,
so you can assume, you know, they will start to run again. So there we are. Hopefully, fingers crossed anyway, because, you know, it's good for everyone. And regardless of what problems, if you're in any, if you're, you know, if you're in the market in small cap stocks or even micro cap stocks, you know, the general market rally is good for everyone because more money comes in and everyone's stocks goes up.
They say a tide lifts all boats, right? A high tide lifts all boats.
Yeah. You put it succinctly there. I went around the houses a bit. Marvelous stuff. Cheers for that, Vadim. Speak to you next week.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.